I have a question for our second service for you to think through with me. What are means of grace? And is the Lord's Supper a means of grace? That phrase, means of grace, is used, I think, quite often at our church. It's rarely defined, I'm sure, because you just assume everybody knows what means of grace are. Now, I define means of grace, borrowing from many who've gone before me, I define means of grace as the delivery systems God has instituted to bring grace, or we could say to bring spiritual power, spiritual change, help, fortitude, or blessings to needy souls on the earth. So these are things, instruments, means, delivery systems ordained by God in His Word, through which grace that changes our souls comes. Now, if there are such things as means of grace, just by that definition, I want to know what they are, because I need grace. Grace comes from our Father, through the Son, by the Spirit, ordinarily in conjunction with the ordained means. The means of grace are those conduits through which Christ alters, modifies, adjusts, changes, transforms, and develops souls on the earth. So we just don't grow on our own. We grow by virtue of God blessing the means of grace to our souls. A 19th century Dutch theologian, Herman Bavinck, some of you have heard of Bavinck before, he says this: Christ is and remains the acquisitor, the one who acquires, as well as the distributor of grace. So he acquires and he distributes. That's a wonderful sentence, isn't it? It's a great sentence. I think it encapsulates a lot of biblical truth. Christ acquired grace for us. Christ distributes grace to and in us. In order to get acquired grace to us or in us, God has ordained means through which it is distributed. The means of grace, then, are God's delivery systems through which that which was acquired for us gets distributed or delivered to or in us. So what are the that's a definition of what they are. What are they? The means of grace. Our confession identifies the Word of God, prayer, and the church, sacraments or ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper as the primary or ordinary means through which grace from heaven comes to souls on the earth. You can read that in chapter 14, paragraph 1. Our confession identifies as the ordinary means of grace, which means the ones God usually uses. There are other means of grace. God isn't tethered to only the things that He's revealed. God is free, but God has revealed certain means through which He ordinarily works. And we call these the Word, prayer, and the sacraments. Now, in some church traditions, this word sacraments is looked upon as a relic of Roman Catholicism. I used to actually personally hold that view, and I never said sacraments. Obviously, I've changed my view because I'm saying it now. But I think we need to distinguish between a sacrament, in the sense that Protestants mean it, and an ordinance. Ordinance. We'll start with ordinance because I think it's more familiar to us. Ordain. Because that's where it comes from. Who ordained these things for the church? There's two of them. They're baptism and the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus ordained both baptism and the Lord's Supper. So there, or an ordinance is that which is ordained by the Lord. A sacrament refers to its function. That is, it is a conduit through which grace comes. So the Word of God, grace comes through the Word of God. preaching it, reading it, hearing it. Primarily preaching, though. Prayer. God, change me. What's that assume? Prayer is a means through which God, when he chooses to, changes people and affairs on the earth. So there's prayer. And baptism. Baptism is now saving you. 1 Peter 3:21. You ever read that? It's kind of weird. Baptism is saving you. He doesn't say baptism saves as an act in and of itself. Baptism, your baptism now has a function in your Christian life. And I actually think I preached about that a few weeks ago or during Wendy's baptism. And who else had that? Whoever else was baptized. And the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a means through which God changes us. Okay, so if that's what we're saying about all these. Now let me just try to show you in the Bible, just two of the means proving that they are means of grace. The first one, the Word of God, is a means of grace. It's very easy, I think, to find texts in the scriptures that indicate that the Bible or the written word of God in its written form, in its heard form, it can be a means of grace if God chooses to so bless it to that end. So we have 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 and following. First Peter 2, 22. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Excuse me, I meant chapter 1. I have chapter 2 in here. Should be chapter 1, verse 22. There it is. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding Word of God. The Word of God is the means through which you were born again or changed. Okay, so there is the conduit through which change comes from God to sinners. The Word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. So now this revelation from God came through the means of preaching to these people. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it, the word, you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. So there, it's pretty obvious. I think you just read it with the means of grace concept in your head and you go, oh, whoa, the word of God is a means of grace. So by it, you may grow. You were born again according to this imperishable thing, and this is the Word of God. It's a medium, it's a channel, it's an agent designed by God and ordained by God, through which God tinkers with our souls and alters us and changes us and develops us spiritually. The other passage is Romans 10, 14 to 17, but because I want to be able to preach next week, we're not going to look at it. But in both the passages, if you looked at it, Romans 10, 14 to 17, souls are blessed, or we could say it this way, souls are endowed with something from outside of them through the Word of God. The preaching of it, the hearing of it, we could add the reading of it. We could add the reading of it. So the Word of God then is a means of grace. How about the Lord's Supper? As a means of grace, I won't preach the sermon over again. I'm just going to try to cite the text. But I think the best text that shows us that the Lord's Supper is more than a memory, it is a memory. Okay? Do this in remembrance of me. Right? So the words of institution, the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Luke, and Mark, Paul rehearses that in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, I received what I received, I delivered, the night in which he was betrayed. Do this in remembrance of me. It's obviously, it's a memorial meal, but it is a meal that we partake of together, remembering something back then. Here's the means of grace part that affects us now. That's the means of grace part. And I think that's seen in 1 Corinthians 10:16, where Paul says, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing, a participation, a communion, New King James Version, of the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing, a participation, a communion, we could even say, with the body of Christ?" And I think what Paul's getting at, you look at it in context, read the whole passage and meditate upon it, this comes out. Whatever Paul means here, well, what Paul means here is that somehow, some way, through the Lord's Supper, the benefits of Christ get to sinners, believing sinners, based on the blessing of God and God alone. So it's not a ex opere operato, go through the motions and magically grace is found in the substance of bread. Grace is found in the substance of wine. Okay, so if I drink it, I get grace. Remember the medieval said, well, what if a mouse drank it? Would he get grace? What if a mouse ate the bread once it was consecrated and transubstantiated into the actual, you know what I mean? So as Protestants, we don't hold to the transubstantiation, but neither do we believe that grace, when we eat the bread, divine grace starts flooding into your soul. Wow, did you feel that, honey? I just got some grace. I ate the bread. No, the grace is in heaven. It's God's help for us. But it is communicated to us through means, through preaching, through prayer, and here, through the supper, where we have this communion, we have this sharing, we have this participation, not just among ourselves in a memorial meal. This is a top-down, vertical bestowing of the benefits of the Savior, from the Savior to the Savior's people by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and I would say in conjunction with the Word of God. So again, when I started to define means of grace and I said, whatever those things are, I want to be around them, that should be your attitude. I want to be around the Word of God. Why? God does things through His Word. I want to be around prayer. Why? Prayer is a means through which God changes people and affairs on the earth when He's pleased to. I want to be around the supper. Why? Well, one of the things is not only do I get to horizontally share and remember something way back then with my brothers and sisters, but when God is pleased, He brings Christ to us through the supper. And He forms Christ in us through the supper. So those are the big reasons why we should want to be around all the means of grace. And anyway, that's my 1 Corinthians 10:16. That's the briefest time I've ever preached on that text. I need to close the Bible or else I'll keep preaching on it. But here we have, if the Lord's Supper is a means of grace, it can only be that if God is instituted as such. It can only be a means through which God is pleased to give grace to us and change us if God has told us in His Word, not in those exact words, but we can put all the pieces together and we say, ah, yes, this is one of those means through which things happen. When God is pleased to bless it by those rightly partaking. You know, if you wrongly partake of the supper, you can't expect God's blessings. You know, you read 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, and you'll see that. But rightly partaking, does God have to bless it simply because I'm a right partaker? No. Because then every single time I preached, God would be forced to bless it, right? To the salvation of souls. But He's not, okay? He hasn't promised that. Every time the Word of God is preached, somebody gets saved. Is that you tonight? Raise your hand. That's why they do that, because some people are very zealous and think that. So this is as God pleases. Again, this is another reason. We need to pray, not just on the Lord's Day. We need to pray during the week. God, bless the word as it's preached. Well, as it's read during the week. Bless it as it's preached. Bless the preacher. Bless the preaching. Bless the preachees. Those who get preached to. So one of the means then instituted by Christ to bring grace from heaven to elect and gospel-believing souls on the earth is the Lord's Supper. It is a soul-changing, soul-altering, spiritually nurturing ordinance as blessed by the Spirit of God to that end. So I have three brief contemplations. One is we ought to thank God for means of grace. Just think if there are no means of grace. Okay, you're saved, but as far as developing your soul and getting strength and growing in grace and knowledge, it's all up to you. I got grace, but there's no way to get it down to you. That'd be pretty depressing. Or can't wait till you get up here so you can get grace. We get the benefits of Christ both in this life and in the life to come. Heaven distributes needed grace through means of grace. So the means of grace are themselves all of grace. The means of grace are all of grace. God graciously and freely instituted them, and God graciously and freely blesses them when He wants to. Means of grace are all of grace. Second, do everything you can to utilize the means of grace. The Bible, prayer, baptism, Lord's Supper. Do everything you can to utilize the means of grace. And then third, pray that God blesses the means of grace, which is what I'm going to do. And then Mario will come up and the men or whoever will pass out the bread. We'll take the bread. Sean will lead us in singing. So let's pray. Father, please help us. Bless this time of partaking together as a real spiritual communion, participation, sharing in the benefits of the mediator for us. We need grace. We're weak, feeble. We're not strong. We're not all super saints. We doubt. We struggle. We give in. So fortify us through this. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.